my fellow Kansans, editor Amy Jeffries here. We're on to our fourth episode of State House Blend Kansas for the 2019 legislative session. If you've been liking State House Blend Kansas, subscribe and give us a rating in your podcast app.
The storm clouds are gathering at the Kansas State House, metaphorically speaking, as Republicans prepare to battle the Democratic governor on tax relief, school finance, and generally what to spend money on. From the Kansas News Service, I'm Jim McLean, and this is State House Blend Kansas. Spurred by the Kansas Chamber, Republicans in the state Senate pushed through a major tax relief bill this past week, a bill they say is necessary to avoid imposing an unintended tax increase on a relatively small number of Kansas taxpayers and a handful of big corporations.
Are we about growing our economy, bringing jobs here, keeping our kids here, or are we about driving people out with our tax policy?
That's Senate President Susan Weigel, a Republican from Wichita. The tax relief bill is a priority for her as she contemplates a run for the U.S. Senate. We'll hear more from her in just a moment. Meanwhile, Democrats are dead set against the bill, and it appears with help from a few Republicans that they've got the votes to sustain a veto, should it come to that. Republican Senator John Scoobel is a big proponent of reviving the state's highway program, which has been raided for cash over the last several years. And he says the state needs the money that taxing the big companies would provide.
They have had tax breaks long enough. I think that we need more money right now to take care of the core functions of government.
Okay, back to Senate President Weigel to break down what this bill is all about. First and foremost, as she puts it, Kansas has to do something so that taxpayers don't get stuck owing more to the state after the federal tax cuts of 2017.
All the bill does is it decouples from federal IRS regulations, and the reason we're doing that is there are families and individuals and Kansas businesses who, if we don't decouple, will experience a very large tax increase.
Yeah, specifically people who are used to itemizing on their income tax returns, right?
Right. You have single moms out there who are working, who are used to itemizing their mortgage interest and their property taxes and their health care expenses. And due to the fact that rates were lowered at the federal level and the standard deduction was raised to $12,000, there's going to be a lot of individuals who have itemized in the past who can't do so now in the future. So we want to allow that one group of people who are investing heavily in Kansas to continue to itemize their deductions.
But most of the money, the biggest portion of this bill relates to companies, multinational companies, that the federal bill was attempting to entice those companies to bring their global earnings back into the United States and was going to give them a tax break on those earnings. Is that correct?
That's correct. President Trump and Congress understood that our multinational companies were keeping their assets overseas because if they brought their cash, their property back, their transportation equipment, their technology, if they brought it back, it would all be taxed at a level of 35%.
At the federal level.
At the federal level. So they created a new category of assets, and they told all these companies, repatriate that money, reinvest that money in the U.S., and they lowered the tax significantly and allowed companies 8 years to pay the bill. Mm-hmm. And states all over the nation have chose not to tax that money, and I don't think we should be taxing it in Kansas.
But if you don't pass this bill, would that income, a fraction of that income, attributable to whatever a company's operations in Kansas, employment, et cetera, is, would then be taxed if you don't pass this bill?
Well, currently we have in our statute a tax on foreign dividends. So if it comes back in the form of a dividend, it will be taxed in Kansas. And most states are saying, I want these companies to stay in our state. We know they are very mobile. They can locate anywhere in the U.S. that they want to. So they have decided not to tax the repatriated income that the federal government is bringing back to the U.S.
Do you think there's a very real possibility that some of these companies, I mean, to name a few of them, Spirit AeroSystems in Wichita, a very big employer, Seaboard Corporation, Cargill, others, is there a real possibility that they would pull out of the state if this bill doesn't pass?
Well, I think the first ones to go would be the ones that are located in the Kansas City market. It's easy for them to move over to Missouri, where Missouri has decided not to tax that income. And in fact, Seaboard came out publicly and said, if we don't pass this bill, jobs will be lost in the state of Kansas.
One of the big issues here is that you and others who are advocating for this bill say there really is no cost to the state. But you have other people saying it's going to cost $190 million in the first year. So how do we reconcile those two things?
Well, I think when our new colleague, Senator Vic Miller, stood up and said, we have to tax these big companies, this is the place to tax, he admitted that this is a new tax and he wanted the money in Kansas.
I am hard-pressed to think of someone better to tax at this time than the giant multinational corporations who are reaping tremendous profits and benefits as a consequence of what the federal government did.
So Democrats admitted this is a tax increase.
Now, how does passing this bill affect the legislature's ability to do other things like solve the school finance issue, fix the problems in the foster care system, start getting KDOT back on its feet? Does it affect those things at all?
You know, business helps pay the bills. I can assure you, if I've talked to Spirit in my community, and they want to stay here. They're a large manufacturing plant. They're heavily invested in machinery. They pay a lot of taxes in the state of Kansas. I want them to grow here, and there's no reason to send them to Oklahoma.
So what do you think will happen to this bill? I'm expecting that it's going to reach Governor Kelly's desk. What will happen to it there?
Well, at that point in time, I'll go have a conversation with the new governor because she committed to the people of Kansas that she would not increase taxes. And clearly, if she vetoes this bill, she's responsible for a $190 million tax increase to businesses and Kansans who have never had this increase placed on them before.
Senate President Susan Wagle, thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Okay. All right.
The tax debate isn't the only issue on which Republican leaders like Wagle don't see eye to eye with the state's new Democratic governor. School finance is another big one. Governor Laura Kelly has a plan that she says will end years of litigation on the issue. It, says Senate Democratic leader Anthony Hensley, pretty much boils down to writing a series of checks to get funding up to where the Kansas Supreme Court says it needs to be.
The plan that the governor has introduced is a four-year plan that appropriates $364 million, and it's been signed off on by the plaintiffs.
But Republican leaders have other ideas, alternatives that would cost less, but they say might still satisfy the court. Not much is known about those alternatives just yet. This is Statehouse Blend, Kansas. I'm Jim McLean in Topeka.
Statehouse Blend Kansas is a production of the Kansas News Service, a collaboration of public radio stations across the state. Check out ksnewsservice.org for news about health, education, and politics throughout the week. I'm Amy Jeffries, editor of the Kansas News Service, and this podcast. This is the part where I ask you, really nicely, to subscribe to Statehouse Blend Kansas in your podcast app and add some stars. The song Warm Evening by Nameless Dancers serves as our theme. We found it in Free Music Archive.